customs. Officer now asked me, what's the purpose of going to the United States? I said, I am already living in the United States. So she asked me, are you a citizen of America? And I said, no. And I have a residence, permanent residence. But still I am a foreigner, so she continued to ask me, you should write down what the purpose of going to United States. So I write down in Japanese, kikoku means going back to the home. Actually, Japanese, if you're Japanese, you have to go back to Japan. That is called going home. Do you understand? But I'm not the American, so the purpose of coming to the United States is not actually going home. Do you understand? But I wrote the going home the unconsciously. So she said, it's funny, you're Japanese. Why do you say going home? I kept quiet. Anyway, I don't know which is my home, but anyway, I'm coming back. I'm already in the United States, and I'm very happy to practice again. This time I felt many things from Buddhism in Japan, the United States, when I came back. When I went back to Japan, there are lots of things I would have to think. How or what I should deal with Buddhism in the United States or in Japan, I don't know exactly what to do. But naturally, I realized that there are many problems, many questions in the United States, in American Buddhism. But not only American Buddhism, in Japanese Buddhism too. Dogen Zenji continually mentions Bendo. Bendo means literally transaction of the way, or what to say, bendo is usually translated as practice, but the bendo is something more than practice, because something you have to do it, you have to do practically. So bendo means the literary transaction of the way, or sometimes the people translate it as, negotiation with the way. But that means transaction of the way, or negotiation of the way means to expend one's every possible effort or energy into the way. Do you understand? Constantly your focus, the focus your focus, the focus of your effort or energy should be on the way. So Dogen Zenji mentions Bendo. This Bendo shouldn't be seen in terms of life and death. But life and death should be seen in terms of Bendo. This is very important point Dogen Zenji mentions. Buddhism is nothing but religion, but I don't know this term, meaning of this term in English, religion. But anyway, the Buddhism is, well, let me say Buddhism is religion in common sense. So if Buddhism is religion, a Buddhism must be something giving at the which it should give perfect peace, the perfect peace or harmony to human being, this human being shouldn't be considered in the realm of human desires, but this human being should be considered in the equal level, in terms of equal level of all sentient beings, including trees, birds, etc. That at that time, human beings can live in peace and harmony. Okay? If you think human beings, just in terms of human beings, so-called human beings have lots of desires, okay? Lots of, what would you say, greediness, human desire, lots of greediness. Okay. So if you consider a human being just in terms of human being, the very naturally, the rest of the beings are separate from human beings. So very naturally, you cannot live in peace, in harmony. So in Buddhism, always we think human being in terms of perfect equal level with all sentient beings. At that time, we are called human being. Right? So human being is what? Human beings are not human beings. Human beings are all beings. So, then you can live in peace and harmony. So for this, you cannot consider human beings always in terms of human desires. Okay? Human desire means always we want to satisfy. You know, we want to satisfy the desire, human desire, human feelings always. Wherever you may be. At that time, even though you get something which seems to make your life happy, but it's not real peace, real harmony. So at any cost, if you want to live in peace and harmony, we have to see human beings in terms of Buddha's teaching or the way going beyond, going beyond conscious or unconscious attempt of satisfying human desire. So that's what Buddhism always emphasizes, emptiness, right? Or egolessness. But if you look at the Buddhism in the United States or in Japan, it seems to be very active. particularly in the United States, Buddhism seems to be very active for helping human beings. It seems to be good. But I don't know, it is questionable. I really feel it's questionable. Because Buddhism is used always for the sake of a conscious or unconscious attempt of satisfying human desire. If Buddhism doesn't help, or if Buddhism satisfies your human desire, you don't pay attention to it. So that's why I look at the Buddhism in the United States. Buddhism always tries to be considered in terms of help. In terms of the help of the human being, human world. The seeing from the different angles, the philosophy, psychology, and biology, and the dance, and the arts, and etc. So that's why Buddhism in the United States seems to be very active. And then somebody says, Buddhism in the United States is best, rather than Buddhism in Japan. But this is nothing but the ignorance, not the arrogance. See, it's very dangerous. It's very dangerous. By this time I felt Buddhism in the United States, Buddhism in Japan, no different. Except, see. So Dogen Zenji mentions, that's what Dogen Zenji mentions, from generation to generation, the Buddha way, or Bendo, Bendo means the expending your every possible effort toward, anyway, the way. Way means beyond human desires, anyway. Okay? There is a way which giving you feeding you always perfect peace or perfect harmony there, okay? Even though you don't understand. So all we have to do is, anyway, to expend your every possible effort or energy toward that. For this, Bendo shouldn't be seen in terms of life and death. So, complete opposite. It would be rather complete reversed. Life and death should be seen in terms of Bendo. Okay, do you understand that one? It's very important. If you see the Buddha way in terms of life and death, Buddhism, it means Buddhism is used for the sake of human desire. Okay? Always checking, evaluating whether Buddhism is useful or not. Okay? Do you understand? In other words, you always pull the Buddha's way, or the way which is giving you perfect peace and harmony, toward the human world. What is the human world? The human world is anywhere full of attempt of satisfying human desires. It seems to be good, but on the other hand, lots of problems. So that's why we want to practice Zazen, and we want to follow the Buddha's way. Okay? Why do you practice Buddha's way? So that's why Dogen Zenji mentions if the Bendo shouldn't be seen in terms of life and death. If you see Bendo put away in terms of life and death, you always try to evaluate, you know, judge, think, and Buddhism, well, checking always whether Buddhism is useful or not. At that time, such a Buddhism doesn't last forever. For a certain period of time, Buddhism, of course, lasts. Maybe 20th century, but not 21st century. So Buddhism, if a Buddhism is real religion, which gives perfect peace, perfect harmony, beyond races, beyond the religion, the way of thinking anyway, it should last forever. From the age to age. For this, even though you don't feel good from Buddhism, you don't see anything whether Buddhism is useful or not, we have to continue to seek for, we have to continue to, well, expand our every possible effort toward the way, anyway. What the real peace? What the real harmony? Harmony or peace, it seems to me that harmony or peace means perfect harmony. Perfect harmony means the human world and also something more than human world come together, live together, okay? That is called harmony. Not only the human world, okay? Not only the human beings and headquarters and trees, birds, natures, you can see comes together. I don't mean that. Okay? Anyway, the phenomenal world, what you can see, and also not phenomenal world, beyond phenomenal world, come together. Live together in peace. At that time, it is called harmony. Harmony is not to shake a hand in each other's good morning, you're a good boy, you are a good friend, etc. It is also harmony, but it doesn't last for long anyway. So we have to shake a hand. What kind of hand we should shake? It's not human hands. Anyway, we have to shake with the people. Well, we are the universal hands. So that's why Dogen Zenji mentions that the life and death should be seen in terms of Bendo. Okay? Bendo. That means that there is a sense of negation of human beings, human desires. Okay? You cannot always satisfy your desires. If you want to satisfy your desire, I don't think it's necessary to practice some Buddha way, you know, or religions. Why do you practice religions? In the usual world, there are lots of things which make your life satisfactory. So you'd better practice some other things rather than Buddhism or religion. Buddhism, anyway, as a religion, I told you before, gives you perfect peace and harmony, which means something beyond what you have thought. Anyway, you are thinking, or you think, anyway. So this is maybe a little bit against your human desires. because you don't understand it. If you don't understand it, you don't want to do it. You don't want to follow. So even though I emphasize that just the sitting is a perfect peace, why don't you sit down? But if you don't feel good, you don't want to do that. Do you think so? Well, not only the Buddhism as a religion and whatever you do, he reads a very interesting articles here, written by one of the Japanese philosopher. This article, the title of this article is "The Practice of Sunyata." Sunyata means emptiness. Let me read this one, okay? One paragraph. He mentioned about the Japanese literary arts and the literary art or Japanese art. The influence of Zen sect lay rather in permeating the life of the age with its Zen spirit, and from here it indirectly influenced the form of art. As arts, under its influence, we can cite the no drama, gardening, tea ceremony, sumiya painting, and so forth. Every one of these arts has a common point that the moment of negation lies at its core. Well, not only art, being, human being, or your presence lies in continuous negation. At its core, underlying essence of its negation, because it's empty. Emptiness means full of functions, nothing to import your ideas, your feeling into it. This is a basic picture of being. So philosophically we say emptiness. So broadly speaking, the emptiness means to give perfect freedom to what? Human beings. Because basically, emptiness means you're free. So that is negation, okay? Negation. Negation means whatever you think, good or bad, right or wrong, all or anyway, negate. At its core, okay? Underlying essence. Always, it's negated. That means it is emptied by something. We don't know what it is. What we call dharma or etc. So, every one of these arts has a common point that the moment of negation lies at its core. The acting of the no drama has the foundation of its distinctive form on the point that it snatches away every human peculiarity from the movement of man. That is the actor. You know the no drama? If you see the no drama, it's kind of dance, but its dance is moving very slow. So human actor as a human being acting. But there is no particular human peculiarity. Do you understand? Same applies to ballet or other dance. Dancer should be human, but if you really want to represent perfect beauty of ballet, you, the ballet, must be negated. You know, the human peculiarity must be negated. Right in the middle of action of dance. At that time, you can really represent perfect beauty of dance. That is a ballet. So, if you see the no drama, the actor moves very slowly. So, in common sense, it makes you boredom. You know, it's very boring, just like a tea ceremony. You don't like a tea ceremony because there is no particular movements, you know, and very quiet, nothing to expect, you know, as a reward. If you drink the tea, it's bitter. It's really been not sweet, you know. And also, you must practice patience, you know, sitting calm. And then what you can see or hear is just the sound of a kettle, water, and also activities of the host. Nothing else. And then place is very small, you know. Nothing to excite you. And also, hence, as its opposite form, it was possible to bring about later the puppet theater. In which all the peculiarities of man were exaggerated and instilled into the movements of the puppets, which were the actors. You understand this one, okay? Actor is complete puppet. But if you just deal with the puppet as a puppet, you are not real puppet. Well, you are not real actor. So the actor is a puppet, but puppet is not puppet. Puppet is completely negated at its core. There is no certain form which is called puppet. So it must be anyway represented as a human being. At that time, puppet really act, you know, at the stage. Which is very attractive. So, always there is a puppet which seems to be dead, but it's not a puppet. It's negated. Under the, lying under the core. Okay? And if you act as a human being at the stage, you mustn't act as a human being. We have to, human being as actor should be negated. And then you can manifest the perfect beauty of the dance there. So it's always there is a contradictory there. But this is very true. So if you want to seek for the perfect peace, or the way, Buddhistic terminology, it is called way. The way means harmony, perfect harmony. Okay? If you want to seek for the way, you must be actor. As a human being, but you mustn't be human. Okay? But look at the Buddhism in the United States, in Japan. We are always acting as a human being. We don't see anything else. So that's why it makes you busy every day. I'm a human being. Human beings are always just like a wild pig rushing into a certain destination to satisfy their desires. So, no peace. No peace. Hence, as it opposite the form, it was possible to bring about later the puppet theater in which all the peculiarity of men were exaggerated and instilled into movement of puppets, which were the actor. Similar, the form of sumi-e, black ink painting, has for its essence the negation of all colors which nature possesses. This is a sumi-e painting. Or even a Western painting, famous painter in the Middle Age in Europe, what's his name? Renoir? Renoir. He look at his painting. It's very bright, beautiful color there. But he doesn't use color what nature possesses. He completely digested. He digested the natural colors. So maybe dim colors. But within the dim colors or mixed color, there is a perfect bright natural color there. So he seems to be an expert how to use the color which nature possesses. Don't you think so? I felt, anyway, from his painting. So if you always express the natural color, what you can see is not alive, it's dead. But he knew this, how to represent natural color. Okay. That's why his painting is beautiful anyway. So I'm talking about not only the Japanese art, okay? Through the Japanese art, anyway, I'm talking about the general art in Europe, in the United States, wherever you may go. This is real true, anyway. And the form of smear black ink painting as for its essence the negation of all colors which nature possesses. This also produced its opposite form in the Momoyama period, that is almost the 16th century. As for gardening, it's acme. S-C-M-E.
Acme.
Its acme lies in the complete erasement of artificiality. Okay? It's very interesting. So, somebody said the Japanese garden is a miniature of nature. Well, of course. So, if you say Japanese garden is a miniature garden, nature, well, that miniature nature is something artificial. Okay? Don't you think it's artificial? But it's artificial because it is made by human, but it's not artificial. Okay? That's why it is difficult. How to represent natures in a small area? It's very difficult.
Because you must be human being, but you shouldn't be human being, because you must be trees, birds, you know, whole nature. You're completely negated. When you are negated, you become nature. When you become nature, very naturally there is a very smooth communication there. Before you think, anyway. This is a practice of guidance. So, as for gardening, gardening is akin arising the complete erasement of artificiality. And the tea ceremony attempts to make the man's life egoless. Yes, it is. First of all, anyone, if you are interested in, or even though you are not interested in, let's participate in a tea ceremony. Immediately you think, what's that? Because nothing to satisfy your feeling. So that is already, you know, your egoistic sense is erased. You know, when you get it there, when you sit down there, immediately your egoistic sense is erased. Just like Zazen. Sit down, then you don't feel anything. That is pretty good, because egoistic sense is erased perfectly before you think. Whether you want to erase or you don't want to erase, anyway, it's erased. The moment when you sit down there, that is called shikan. So you cannot try to erase egoistic sense because you have already. So the more you try to erase egoistic sense, the more you create egoistic sense. So how can you erase ego? That's a question. That is a question, most important of question you have to take into account in your whole life anyway. And also, he says continually about the tea ceremony. This can also be said about the tea ceremony. The guests after the tea ceremony will not experience the art of tea if they merely appreciated the decorations of tea room or the host activities in the tea ceremony, unless the guests lived together in the tea room. The creation itself of the tea ceremony will not be accomplished. The charm of the tea ceremony can be realized by the participation of the guests as well in its creation. Creation means you cannot create your own life. Confining in your small territory, so-called I, you cannot create. Creation means you have to realize your own life, which is fully alive with all sentient beings. At that time, it is called creation. Okay? Creation. Creative life. You are there, but you are not you. Okay? Your life must be one with all natures, all sentient beings. At that time, your life is called creative. Very creative life. So, to attend the tea ceremony is to create your own life. But your own life is not your own life, because your life is harmonized with host, tea kettles, tatamis, small area of the room, and nature. Through what you can see, one flower at the altar, alcove. You can see the nature, seasons, fully alive of the season, rhythm of the season, so-called autumn. Through the one flower at the alcove. And he says, therefore, there must be sympathetic consideration, sympathetic, very sympathetic, compassionate consideration on the part of the host to make the guests forget all worldly affairs. That's pretty good.